always get something. And just, it was so precious, the anointing of the Holy Spirit just now flowing. You know, we don't take that for granted. And, you know, if you weren't at church, if you were at the grocery store, it's unlikely. I have had encounters in the grocery store with God. I've been on my knees in the grocery store before. But when you come to church, we don't take for granted what he's doing here, right? We don't take for granted. Yeah, my story on that is we had just got word that we were going to get this building. You know, so much prayer had gone into it. And of course, I was happy. But I'm on the bleach aisle with all the detergent. And I mean, God just jumped on me. I hit my knees. I'm in the middle of that aisle going, okay, God, I have my hands up and I'm just honoring his presence in HEB, Friendswood HEB. And I noticed people would start to come down the aisle and they would just go the other way, you know. And I said, thank you for that moment. I was so grateful, but I thought, you know, I'm not going to miss this moment. I know that's as weird as the day is long if you're not thinking about the encounter. But I was like, I'm not going to miss it. I was so grateful. But he can come anywhere, but he especially comes at church when the corporate family comes together. So whatever he's spoken to you tonight, even during this song service, take it home. God has spoken to you. He's been with you. So praise the Lord. So glad you're all here. So this summer, there's something that's been stirring in my heart for probably 2 years. And just didn't know when the right time was to roll it out. But kingdom culture has been on my heart to teach that in our church. We've been talking about where we would do it, when we would do it. And we decided this was the time and that we would do it on Wednesday nights. And you say, what in the world is kingdom culture? You know, the Bible teaches us how to live when we come to Christ. That's different than when the way we lived before Christ, right? It's a different way. The things that we do, he's saying, live a different way. And that's what we're going to talk about. You know, you look in the scriptures, when Jesus came, there was a Jewish culture, but then there was a complete pagan culture. And what was that? That was idol worship. I mean, just all the demonic things you can think of. That's what people were doing. That's how they lived in their homes. There was, you know, all the things that were evil. They weren't in this beautiful, not always so beautiful, but you know, we have a Christian nation here. So the roots of our nation are Christian, you know, do good, do right, don't steal, things like that. We do see that, but they didn't have that. You know, so the Bible, the New Testament, talks about how we should live and that our lifestyle should be different. So that's what's on my heart. I know that you guys know a lot of this. And I was like, Lord, you know, should this be taught to a Wednesday night group? And he said, yes, we need adjustments. We need alignments all the time. What did the great man of God say? He said, your mind will stay renewed about as long as your hair stays combed. We always need that adjustment, right? Kenneth Hagin said that. And it's like, I need to remember that. So we are always aligning our lives. Scott and I talk about years ago, we've said this several times, we understood the concept of tithing, giving, what is tithing? Giving 10%, honoring God. Thank you for this, you know, whatever. The money that you've given us, we're going to honor you with it. But there was a few things we weren't doing right. We didn't give first. That's part of tithing. And we didn't give, a lot of times we were like kind of grudgingly giving. It wasn't just like God, we weren't giving in faith. When we made those two adjustments, our world turned around financially. And so when we come to church, we get those little pieces of information that we're missing. And so I just encourage you, Lord, what pieces of information am I missing? What little adjustments do I need to make so that my life lines up with what you have for me? So that's what this Kingdom Culture series this summer is going to be about. We're going to have different people teaching it, which will be fun. And we're going to cover a lot of different sides of it, you know, how we should live. So I want us to stand and read together the Bible. I'm going to go through a lot of scriptures tonight, but my first scripture is our main text for this. And this is what the Lord had started putting on my heart. And I'm not sure how it's going to be. It's going to be the Ephesians 4, 1 through 3 scripture. And if we can just read it together, it's going to be in the NASB. We can read off the board if you want, but I want us to read it together. It says, it's coming. Okay. There it is. Okay. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. Go on. with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. Go on. Being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Praise the Lord. You can sit down. Yeah, so the first line there, the Apostle Paul is writing to the body of Christ here, and he's saying, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you. And what does he say in verse 1 there? He says, to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you've been called. And then he begins to talk about that. So he's saying there's a manner that we walk in. And what are we talking about when we say walk? Your lifestyle. How do you live? It's not talking about how you walk down the street. I'm sure you have a great walk, a great swag, but he's talking about your lifestyle. How do you live when you're at home and nobody's watching? How do you live on your job? He's saying walk in a certain manner. There's a way that we walk, and he's saying walk with humility. That's not what the world teaches. The world teaches us to walk with pride, right? He says walk with gentleness, with patience. Who does that? Showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. This particular passage is a passage that I read over our church family. I pray it over our staff. I pray it over us that this is our story here. I want to read it in the Amplified. It says, so I, the prisoner of the Lord, that's Paul because he was in prison. He said, I appeal to you to live a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. And what does that mean? That is to live a life that exhibits godly character, moral courage, personal integrity, and mature behavior. A life that expresses gratitude to God for your salvation with all humility. What is that? Forsaking self-righteousness and gentleness. What is that? Maintaining self-control. With patience, bearing with one another in unselfish love, make every effort to keep the oneness of the Spirit in the bond of peace. What is that? Each individual working together to make the whole successful. That's powerful. You think about that's what we're supposed to be doing as a church, as a people, in our homes, on our jobs. And then I want to turn to Colossians 1, 9 and 10. If you've got your Bibles, just open it up or look on your phones. Colossians 1:9-10. And he uses this phrase again, walk in the manner. In verse 9, it says, for this reason also, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Isn't that amazing? So he's praying that for the people. He's saying, walk in this manner. And what does this manner do? It pleases God. So we don't just do it because it's good or it's popular within the church. We do it because it pleases God. And so we're going to learn this summer what the manner is. And then let's turn to 1 Thessalonians 2:12. 1 Thessalonians 2:12. Those are powerful little books. And again, this phrase in the NASB is said again, to walk in the manner. In verse 12, it says, you are witnesses, and so is God, how devoutly and uprightly and blamelessly we behave toward you believers, just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you as a father would his own children, so that you would walk in a manner worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. You hear the Apostle Paul, he's saying, I'm imploring you to do this. It's very important. He's putting this stamp saying, walk in this way, walk in the manner worthy of God. And you say, what does that look like? Just the few verses that we've read, it talks about godly character, talks about moral courage, talks about personal integrity. Scott and I were having a conversation before I go on right there. You know, God is a heart God. He's paying attention to our heart. You know, it's not just what we do outwardly. He calls that hypocrisy. If we do something that looks good, but in our heart, we're really like either in pride or we have wrong motives. But he's saying when you do things, do it with the right motive. So personal integrity matters to God. It's important what we do in our heart. He's paying attention to that. And he knows in the best of ways. He knows our hearts, but it's important that we guard our heart and move forward with the things of God from the inside out. We're also called to have mature behavior, humility, gentleness, and again, preserving unity and peace. God is calling us to a different way. I've told the story before, but when I was born again as a child, had an amazing encounter with God, got into high school, walked away from God, lived an ungodly lifestyle. And one night, and I've told you this before, but there's a reason. My friends had smuggled me into a dance club. And someone came up and asked me to dance. How silly was that? Long story short, it was an angel. And I knew something was very different about him, and he didn't belong there. But what he said to me, he was very clean cut, and he looked at me and he said, "What are you doing here?" And I was thinking, "Well, what are you doing here? You don't look like you fit here either." And he said, "You don't belong here." And I later realized it was an angel. And what was God saying? You need to be living in a different way. You're a Christian, and God lives inside of you, and you're not walking in the way that I want for you. And it's not just about doing right or wrong. It's that God wants good things for us. But when we're walking according to the ways of the world, he can't get his blessings to us, right? The door to the enemy is wide open when we're walking outside of God's plan. And so he's saying, walk in this manner because I have good things for you. And so that's what we're studying on tonight. We're going to walk in a different way. I want to read another scripture, 2 Corinthians 6. Let's turn in our Bibles. 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 17. This is an interesting passage. It says, "Do not be bound together with unbelievers." And what is that talking about? It's talking about being yoked up with an unbeliever. We're around unbelievers all the time. And God's not afraid of unbelievers. But you think about what a yoke is. And Alan has a picture of it. You can tell I just pulled that off the internet, but you see it. We got the dream time or whatever it says in the middle of there. But you see that wooden yoke, those cows or whatever they are, they're not going to go in different directions or do different things. They're yoked up. They're going to go all together. So if you're yoked up with an unbeliever, and we see that often when it talks about marriage, it's saying don't be yoked up with someone who's not equally yoked to you because you're going to have trouble your whole life. Because they're going to be wanting to go one way, you're going to be wanting to serve God and go another way, but you can't hardly do it, right? Because you're yoked up. And what does Jesus say? He says, "Yoke up with me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light." So we're supposed to yoke up with Jesus, but that's what this is talking about. It's saying, don't be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Because we're light. There's light inside of us. Or what harmony has Christ with Belial? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? It's not saying we can't have friends that are unbelievers, but it's saying don't be yoked up with them where you're just, you know, everything you do, I do what you do. No, we're called to live a different way, right? It says, or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? And so what he's talking about here is in that day, the pagan temples, what did they do? They idol worshipped. There was temple prostitution, satanic rituals. They were sacrificing people. It was terrible. And he's saying, what do you have in common? Because now the Holy Spirit lives inside you, Rose. Now, the Bible says that we are the temple of God. He lives inside of us. So he's saying, what in the world? You know, there's a difference. He's saying, you know, do things different. It says, or what agreement has the temple of God with idols, for we are the temple of the living God. Just as God said, and then he begins to quote an Old Testament passage, I will dwell with them and walk among them. I will be their God and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean. That's the Jewish culture. And I will welcome you. That's a strong statement. He's talking about the differences there, right? But he's saying, come out from among them and be separate. And I'm not talking about go get a house in Montana, hide out, and live in a little village by yourself. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, live a different way. So we're in the midst of a difficult generation, people that don't know God. We're not going to run from them, but we do live a different way. We live according to the way the scriptures read, right? And then what happens? We lift up Jesus, and the scriptures say that men are drawn to him. We keep our heart of love for the people around us, but we live a different way. It's easy in the culture when there's so much around us that's not godly to do that. But God is saying, I want you to live differently according to the scriptures. Scott and I were also talking about this the other day. Humility, pride. Keith Moore says this. He's a Bible teacher. And he says, you know, when you're in pride, your face looks like the devil. And we always laugh about that. We're like, are you in pride? Are you in pride? Did your face look like the devil? But, you know, we're called to be different. We're not called to have that look on our face. The world says, just be prideful, be arrogant. No, we're called to have humility. You know, we can be confident. We can do those things. But it says, do all in love. Everything you do should be done in love. That doesn't mean we're a pushover, but that means we have a love, right? We have the love of God. That's what we're called to do. We're called to live a separated lifestyle, separated unto God, yoked up with him, because we're his temple. Praise the Lord. So what am I talking about? I'm talking about kingdom culture. And what is culture? It's our beliefs. It's our customs. It's our pastimes. It's the way of life. It's our everyday existence. And he's saying, live a different way. Living God's way moves us to a place of blessing. Like I said earlier, it positions us to receive his blessings. His way is the best way. His way is the best way. Even when we get in difficult times, I'll say that. I'll say, your way is the best way. Just tell me which way to go, because your way is going to get me to the place of blessing. I feel like we just need to say that tonight. His way is the best way. His way is my way. Let's say it again. His way is the best way, and his way is my way. I want to live the way he says it. Yeah. Like I said, when we live according to the kingdom culture, we're going to be a blessing to those that we are around. You know, when we're being good to our neighbor, if I'm having a bad day and my neighbor needs help, we have widows that live around us, I'm not probably going to help them, but that's not right. God's saying, pay attention to what's going on. I need to go out there and help them mow their grass or whatever it is. So when I'm living God's way, I'm a blessing to the people around me, but it also blesses me, right? Keeps the door shut to the devil. Because the Bible says, Jesus has come that we can have life and have it more abundantly. But Satan has come to steal, kill, and destroy. So he's trying to do that. So we don't want to side up with him. That means we don't want to live the way he says live, right? Because that opens the door to him and gives him access to our life. So we live God's way and we give him access to our life because he's trying to get the blessings to us. So let's position ourselves for that. 2 Peter 1:4, let's read that passage. 2 Peter 1:4. Was this our chapter for today? I kind of get off sometimes. I run a 2 Peter. Okay, 2 Peter 1:4, that's what I was, yeah. Okay, so this might be our one for the day. Okay, I'm behind then. Yeah, we read a chapter a day. For those of you that want to jump on and do that, we read one chapter in the New Testament a day. So by the end of the year, Monday through Friday, we will have read through the entire New Testament. That's amazing. So jump on if you want to do that. Verse 4 says, for by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises. What is that? The Bible, right? His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world. That's a powerful passage. It's making this amazing connection between the promises of God and the divine nature. I'm going to read that again. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises. That's talking about the Bible. So that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world. So there's a connection between the promises of God or the word of God and the divine nature. And what is the divine nature? It's the kingdom culture. It's living in God's character. So when we learn about the Bible, when we speak the Bible, what happens? His nature comes out of us. And then what is the result? We escape the corruption that's in the world. That's powerful. Yeah. It's a divine setup. That's the way I like to think of it. He's like, hey, you just study my Bible, pay attention to it, put it in your heart. These things are going to happen. Then my divine nature is going to come out of you. Then you're going to be positioned for the blessings, but also escape the corruption that's in the world. It's a pretty good deal. He's a good God. It's important how we live. I want to read this quote. I heard a woman of God say this recently, and this has just spoke to me so much, how we live. I want God to flow through me. I want God to flow in me. I want him in my church. I want him out in the marketplace. If I'm with somebody or around somebody, that I can pray for them and that God's power flows through me. But it's important how I live. And I read this recently, and this is a quote of Nancy Dufresne, actually. It says, as believers, we need to live a life of reverence and honor to God. When we do, it's going to affect what we allow in our thought life. So we can allow things, right? Things will come, but you can say, no, I'm not going to ponder that. I'm not staying there. So what we allow in our thought life, the words that we speak, the actions we take, the places we go, and how we treat others, all of this is involved in a life of reverence and honor to God, and it's going to affect the manifestation of God's glory in and through our lives. It's pretty powerful. So the things that I think about, the things that I say, the actions I take, where I go, it matters how powerful my life is for God and how much God can flow in me. Again, he's trying to get goodness to us. So this summer, we're going to be talking about kingdom culture. And that's going to help the divine nature come out in us, because we want to escape the corruption that's in the world and be a blessing, right? We want to be a blessing. We're going to talk about family. Mr. Ben is going to be up for the next 2 weeks talking about the Christian home, Christian family. And I love that. I think that's going to be awesome. We're going to talk about what our speech should be like, the workplace. I'm going to teach on prayer and praying the word. You know, as a young woman, that changed my life when a couple of ladies set me down and said, listen, you need to get in the word and you need to pray it over yourself, and it'll change you and it'll change your situation. And it's probably one of the most powerful connections I've had in my life. So I want to teach on that. Spending your supply and the supply of God that's on the inside of you. Rose is going to teach on that. She's going to teach on the secret place. What is that? My time with God. You can have an encounter every day with God, and she's going to help us learn about that. Keys of the kingdom. What in the world is that? God's given us some keys. We see that in the scripture. Our influences and healing and some different things. We've got a handful of people that are going to be teaching. I just encourage you guys to come out for it, and God's going to help us. So, and I challenge you that I'm going to close with this, and then Scott will close up. But that Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 3, I encourage you to go home and read that. It may be throughout the whole summer. Read it, meditate on it, and pray it. Pray it over yourselves. Get in agreement, because I'm praying it over our body, and it's helping us. I can see change even in my heart when I pray. And you say, how in the world do you pray the scriptures? What does that look like? Well, this is what that looks like when I pray this scripture. And Alan can put it up on the board, that Ephesians 4, 1 through 3 verse. I just say, Lord, thank you for helping me to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which I've been called. Helping me to walk in humility and gentleness with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, and being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Thank you, Lord. So when I do that, I'm coming into agreement. I'm saying what God is saying. And there's this powerful thing that happens when we pray his will, which is the imperishable word of God. Things begin to change in our lives. And it also changes the way we think. So praise the Lord. That is all I've got to say for tonight. Did you want to close up? Thank you.
Good job, babe. Excellent, excellent. Good start, huh? So join us. We'll have a good variety for you all summer. And, you know, I was thinking, I just finished my reading in 1 Kings last night, and that's a weird book. Judges and Kings, boy, there's some odd things that happen in that Old Testament. You know, it's like that saying, truth is stranger than fiction. It really is. And the last chapter in 1 Kings, there's this weird story where the king of Israel and the king of Judah, because the kingdom had been divided, the king of Israel says, I'm going to go to war against so-and-so. And he invites the king of Judah to come join him. And the king of Judah, when he answers him, it's very interesting how he answers the king of Israel when he invites him to come join him in this battle. He says, my horses are like your horses, my men like your men. You know, it's like he's totally identifying with them, like we're family. You know, I am as you are kind of thing. And he goes right along with what Terry was saying. When we first become a Christian, we tend to identify with just what we've always known, right? You know, if you grew up in a house where people drank alcohol all the time, that's all you've ever known. Right? But when you get saved, when you get born again, you make a different alliance. And there's an alliance now with holiness, like she was reading these scriptures, with God. And so we have to learn to be careful who we identify with. This king of, and in the story, the way the story ends, because the king of Judah, who was actually a good guy, because he identified with the king of Israel, and he said, I am as you am. In other words, we're brothers, we're family, man. I'm going with you. I'm all in. Well, the other king was destined for judgment. He got killed in that battle, and so the king of Judah got killed too. So you got to be careful who you align with. And when you align with the world, even if you're a Christian, and God's promised you good things, but if you align improperly with your associations, your media following, you know, all these things that surround our life nowadays, the things that we associate with, careful, careful, careful who you align with. Because that relationship, that syncing up with someone, can make all the difference. It can be a blessing or it can be a curse to you. So it's going to be a great series. I know it was a great start to tonight. And let's all stand together. Praise the Lord. The beautiful thing about what Jesus does in our life is he works in us so gently. When he brings about these changes, it's better than if a preacher told you what to do, right? I mean, I can tell you do's and don'ts till the cows come home. But when the Holy Spirit tells you, there's an empowerment to it. It's not just a do or a don't. There's power behind his command. And when he gives it to you, there's power for you to live it and to live right. Amen. So let's reach out just as we close tonight. Wherever you're at tonight, just reach out with your hands lifted to heaven. And let's agree together. Father, we thank you that you're here with us. Whatever needs changing in our life, where we're contentious, where we're proud, short-tempered, corrupted by the world's evil desires, whatever it is, Lord, we thank you that your Holy Spirit comes in now as we invite you. Come in. Just pray that prayer with me. Come, Holy Spirit. Come into my life. Have your way. Cleanse me. Change me into the likeness of Jesus. Thank you for doing it, Lord. As we kick off this series, I thank you that tonight your Holy Spirit's beginning to work in us, even from this moment forward, as we go home tonight, even as we lay our head down tonight, the dreams that we dream, even the quality of sleep we walk in will be changed as your divine nature comes forth in us, in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen. Amen. If you need prayer of any kind, we'll hang around here toward the front. If you need prayer before you go home, please don't leave. We're not in a hurry, so you don't be either.